Aren't you glad you're a Christian? All right, let's say last week's memory verse together. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:27. Well, happy Father's Day. Maybe you've seen this. There was a website a few years ago called manbabies.com with Photoshop pictures of men and their babies with heads switched. Why? I don't know why, but some of them are kind of amusing. I think the website has been discontinued now, but they had hundreds of these pictures that you could check out, and of course you can still find a bunch of them online. And some of them are funny, and others are just a little disturbing. But from time to time, they even had contests, and you could get your man baby's picture put on a t-shirt if you were so inclined. But oh, the things people come up with. I'd like to start this morning with some time-honored quotes about fathers that I think you'll find helpful. By the time a man realizes that maybe his father was right, he usually has a son who thinks he's wrong. Charles Wadsworth. When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in 7 years. Mark Twain. I never got along with my dad. Kids used to come up to me and say, "My dad can beat up your dad." I'd say, "Yeah? When?" Bill Hicks. He was hoping they would. When I was a kid, I said to my father one afternoon, "Daddy, will you take me to the zoo?" He answered, "If the zoo wants you, let them come and get you." Jerry Lewis. My wife is so analytical with raising kids, and I am not. My feeling is if they turn out good, then that means I was a good daddy and put a lot of effort into it. If they turn out bad, it means they took after her side of the family. Jeff Foxworthy. Well, here's how to diaper a baby. Spread the diaper in the position of the diamond with you at bat. Then fold second base down to home and set the baby on the pitcher's mound. Put first base and third together. Bring up home plate and pin the three together. Of course, in case of rain, you got to call the game and start all over again. Jimmy Pearsall. Father's Day, of course, is a celebration honoring fathers and celebrating fatherhood. And it's celebrated on the third Sunday of June in the United States and in a few other countries as well. But, you know, there are some that have it on a different day, like in September for Australia. I like Mother's Day. I think this is a good holiday, partly because I happen to be a father. And we are certainly told to honor our fathers in the Bible. The fifth of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Proverbs 6:20. My son, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Proverbs 10:1. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. Proverbs 30:11 says with a very negative tone, there's a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother. And it later talks about the eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother in verse 17. Ephesians 6:1-3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Not for they are always right, but for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And of course, we can find others. Now, if you do some research, you will discover that human children are actually the most vulnerable and dependent creatures on earth. In the Encyclopedia of Biblical and Christian Ethics, the following observation is found. The human infant is by far the most helpless of all young mammalian life, and consequently requires an inordinate amount of care if it is to be nurtured successfully. Sadly, there are many that are not nurtured successfully. And of course, I'm not just talking about food, clothing, and shelter. If you do some more research, you will discover that fathers are actually very important in a child's upbringing. The National Fatherhood Initiative website said, "Children who live absent their biological fathers are on average at least 2 to 3 times more likely to be poor, to use drugs, to experience educational, health, emotional, and behavioral problems, to be victims of child abuse, and to engage in criminal behavior than their peers who live with their married, biological, or adoptive parents." And you can find many statistics from big studies showing the father factor in poverty, the father factor in health, the father factor in crime and joining gangs, the father factor in teen pregnancy, the father factor in drug abuse, the father factor in teen suicide, the father factor in dropping out of high school, and so forth. And so as it's been pointed out, a father's influence is certainly out of proportion when compared to his mocked and diminished role in Western society. For example, the movies and the TV shows. Well, in those, the fathers are often portrayed as superfluous and as big, immature boys, or worse. An involved father at home is extremely important. And that is why God set up the family to have a mother and a father, which is pretty sad. Because according to the U.S. Census Bureau, about 20 million children in America, that's more than 1 in 4, live without a father in the home. There's a song by Todd Smith that's called "Calling All Fathers." I'd like to read you the words. "Where are the leaders? Where are the teachers? Where are the keepers of every home? There is an emergency greater than any other. Where are the ones who fight for their own? Calling all fathers, run to your children. We've fallen asleep and darkness has come. We will find strength in the name of Jesus. Calling all fathers, wake up. Evil is waiting outside our windows. Slowly but surely it's creeping in. Take up your sword now, and just like a soldier, take back what's been stolen and fight like a man. Our sons need to know we see the man deep inside of them. Our daughters need to know that they're adored. Our wives want to be known and that we'll be men of our word. And if we fall down, we'll get back up. Yes, when we fall down, we'll get back up. Calling all fathers, run to your children. We've fallen asleep and darkness has come. We will find strength in the name of Jesus. Calling all fathers, wake up. We are the leaders. We are the teachers. We are the keepers of our homes. There's an emergency greater than any other. Let us be the ones who fight for our own." Well, along these lines, it's not flawless, but if you haven't done so, I would encourage you to watch the movie Courageous. We've got a copy in the church library that you can borrow. See, I wish every father was required to watch that movie at least once. Well, as it says on the movie poster, honor begins at home. What I'd like for us to do now is to take a look at Psalm 128. And so if you've got a Bible handy, let's go ahead and turn over there. And yes, this was written under the Mosaic Covenant. It was written to Israelites, but I still think there are teachings and applications that we can get from the Psalms. Now, looking at this particular one, we can see 5 things that should be important to a father. Now, I'm certainly not the only preacher who has pointed this out. His work, his marriage, his family, his church, and his legacy. So let's start by reading through it. Psalm 128, verses 1 through 6. "How blessed," or blessed if you like the King James language, "is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy, and it will be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children like olive plants surround your table. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion, and may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Now take a look at verse 1. We often think of being blessed as being endowed with divine favor. And being in a state of blessedness, it has to do with genuine contentment. Many people in our culture, they think that they are blessed when they've got a lot of stuff. Bigger houses, better cars, faster computers, newer cell phones, clearer TVs, and fatter bank accounts. And there's nothing wrong with having material things. But as Christians, we recognize that we don't gain genuine contentment from material things. As the saying goes, money can buy you a bed, but it can't buy you sleep. Well, according to this psalm, the kind of people who are blessed are those who fear the Lord and walk in His ways. Fear in the Bible is usually referring to respect and reverence, not necessarily a knee-knocking fear. You might say we're more afraid of disappointing God because we want Him to be proud of us. But simply put, to fear the Lord, it means to take Him seriously. Also, we are to walk in His ways, which of course is living our lives according to His word. In the Old Testament, it was the law of Moses, and in the New Testament, it's the teachings of Jesus and the apostles. And so we measure our lives by the word of God. Just don't miss the word walk. It's with our feet and not just our feelings. It's with our lives and not just our lips. Well, according to this psalm, this is the man whom God will bless. So, in what areas will He bless him? Number one, his work. Verse 2. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy and it will be well with you. Referring to good, honest labor. We work, of course, to sustain ourselves and our families. Despite what some people think, work is not a bad thing. What's the first thing that God did with Adam? He put him in the Garden of Eden and told him to cultivate and keep it, Genesis 2:15. With work, it can actually be very fulfilling and satisfying. And not just because you're accomplishing something, but because you are pulling your own weight and you're making it on your own steam. It's been said, eating food that came from charity doesn't taste as good as food that you earned. God created man to work, and that's why 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, if anyone will not work, neither let him eat. And keep in mind, it says will not and not cannot. In the context, it was so they wouldn't become a burden on the church. But if we're capable of working, then we should not refuse to work. So first, blessing his work. Number two, his marriage. Verse 3a, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, not just bearing and raising children, but also blessing the home in so many ways. She's often the decorator and the general manager of the home. Now, when my wife's out of town, I really notice a difference in our home, the state of the place, what we're eating, the overall atmosphere, and so forth. You know, my kids tell me they're hungry, and I just throw a protein bar at them. The wife is the queen of the home, and, well, I think she should be treated that way. As the saying goes, happy wife, happy life. Ecclesiastes 9:9, it says, enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which he has given to you under the sun. Okay, number three, his family. Verse 3b. Your children like olive plants around your table. The olive tree was very important to their culture in providing food, providing oil, which was used in so many different ways, and And well, besides giving us quite a bit of entertainment, and there's a reason why we're always putting funny pictures and funny videos on social media, well, children, they can help out around the house, and especially if you've got a farm or you've got a family business. Well, it's also fun to teach them things, and it's good to have someone to play catch with, and to go bike riding, and to play board games with, and to have someone to watch superhero movies with. You know, the wife doesn't really like those. I mean, they can definitely help in making a man's life feel blessed. It says, around your table, and that's referring to when they are teenagers and eating you out of house and home. No, it's not that. As you know, it's great to sit around the table with your family and to enjoy a good meal together. And everyone talks about their day and so forth. I mean, the dad, he can use that time to talk about what's really important in life. There's actually been some studies on the benefit of doing so. You know, the benefits of eating together at the dinner table in a child's development. And you ought to look that up. And I'm sure that our table is going to seem very quiet and at times a bit lonely when our three kids have grown up and left the house. Well, after another statement on fearing the Lord, we come to number four, his church. Verse 5, the Lord bless you from Zion, and may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Well, Zion and Jerusalem, of course, that's referring to the city of David, but it was also the center of their religion. It was where the temple was located. Every year the Israelites, they would go there, they would travel to Jerusalem for the religious festivals of Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Well, those terms, Zion and Jerusalem, they were also used in the Bible from time to time to simply refer to the people of God. Well, today, the people of God, that's the church. God wants us to prosper spiritually, and a man should strive to make his church better. What a blessing to be an active part of a healthy church. Well, number five, his legacy. Verse 6. Indeed, may you see your children's children. Hey, a lot of people, they talk about how fun it is to have grandchildren. Here's grandpa's to-do list. Pick up the grandchildren, spoil them, buy them stuff, load them up with candy, then send them home. And not just see your children's children, but see them doing well and making good choices and following God in their lives. I mean, wouldn't that be great? When you're looking at your children and your grandchildren, well, you're looking at your legacy. The word legacy, it's referring to what you leave behind. That's why I think it's important to follow those tips on the back of the sermon worksheet for today, the suggestions for rearing your children for Christ. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7. A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed or blessed are his sons after him. Whether good or bad, we are going to leave a legacy in our children and in our grandchildren. A man who fears the Lord and who walks in his ways has a much better chance of leaving a good legacy. I've seen it many times. Truly following God and making him a priority, that's not going to give you a life without difficulties, but it will often result in these five blessings in a man's life. And of course, we should strive to display our relationship with God in these five areas. Our work, our marriage, our family, our church, and our legacy. And so fathers, I don't know, maybe we ought to do a little Father's Day inspection and ask some questions. Do I fear God? Do I walk in his ways? Are these the things that are important to me? Well, in conclusion, not everyone gets to have a father at home. And those who do, they don't always get to have a good father. one who is involved and responsible and committed. And so if you had a loving and an involved father, you need to feel blessed yourself. And you should honor him today and thank him if he's still alive. But here's the thing, at least we all get the opportunity to have a father who's in heaven, who loves us, and who gives us advice on life, and who listens to us, and so forth. And so let's certainly not forget about him. Let's honor and thank him today as well. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father.